meeting to order, May 9th.
So let's find out
who we have.
Adrian. Here. Brenda.
Here.
Chelsea.
Here.
Carol.
Here.
Chris.
Here.
Warren.
Here.
Paul.
Yes.
Haley. Samantha.
Here.
Mom.
Yes.
And Logan wasn't able to attend.
Okay, thank you. We have quorum. We need a motion to adopt the agenda.
This is Brenda. Move to approve.
A second.
Okay, we have a motion by Brenda, second by Josie. To adopt it as it stands.
Mayor Osterbeck, during the workshop, I asked if we could amend the agenda.
Okay. So
I'd like to make a motion that we amend the agenda to include under new business, talk about the Pebble Mine.
Okay. We need a second for the
amendment. This is Carol.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, if there's no objections to the amendment, we'll include it on the main motion. If there's no objections to the main motion on the agenda, we stand as amended. Thank you. Now is a good time if anybody feels they have a conflict of interest or anything on the agenda.
I have just accepted the job as principal for the school, and I know we have a school donation. I don't believe it directly impacts me, but I do need to declare.
Okay. I think you're fine. Anyone else?
I'd also like to bring up that the Kinko Fire Department has a request in for donation. It's not going to affect me, but I just wanted to bring it to the assembly's attention.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, you're fine. Any others?
This is Brenda. You'll be talking about this. Cold Bay Clinic, and I work for EAT.
Okay, but I think you're fine.
And Mr. Mayor, if I may, this is Tom Falsbass. We have a request in for some funds through a grant there. I just wanted you to be aware of that. Thank you.
Okay. And I think you're...
Warren here at King Cove. On the King Cove Corporation request there. I sit on the King Cove Corporation board.
Okay, and so under that request that you guys have in, then as a board, you voted on that?
Yes, we did vote on it.
Okay, so I think Grandpa, I'd probably say that's a conflict deal. Okay. Any others? Okay. Thank you, everyone. You want to do a community role?
Sure. King Cove, Roxanne, who do you have with you?
Okay, King Cove is Warren, Chris, Stella, Henry, Mike, and Pat, and myself.
Mike.
Where's that mic or pen?
Sandra Fletcher and myself.
Obey. Happy Chan. Nelson Goon. Anchorage.
Marsh back, we have myself, Annie Bailey, Ernie Weiss, Charlotte Levy, Mary Teshi, Josie Shangan, Carol Foster, Ann McNeely, Brenda Wilson, Gary Hennig, Jordan Keeler, Amber Yusufovich, and Farah Kareem.
Okay.
At standpoint, we have Emma Mobeck, myself, Alvin, Paul, Ingrid.
All right. At this time, are there any public comments on the agenda item?
Mr. Mayor, Henry and King Cole.
Go ahead, Henry.
Go ahead. Henry over in King Cole.
Yes.
Henry, you got me, Alvin?
Hello, Henry. Can you hear me now?
Gotcha now. Hey, we're going to get a new teleconference system here. I know we've been asking for it for the last 5 years here, so some of that works. Anyway, Alvin, can I speak on your Ordinance 1909, if I can, please?
Ordinance. You sure can.
Okay, pertaining to Fund 20, Permanent Fund Earning Appropriation Recommendations. I know all the communities put in some grant requests just on behalf of our community through the years. With some certainty, we were able to put in requests, and when we do our budget, it's always about the same time, there's always a few dollars given to every community. And so we've done that again this year here. And I see that the Assembly got 13 requests in, and out of those 13, only three were recommended by administration to fund. I agree with all 13 that the administration recommends. They're all good projects. But I guess I would say I don't agree with how the bottom 10 are being funded with the permanent fund money. I would recommend that the Assembly would consider proposing that they fund the bottom 10 with your general fund on assigned monies. I think you guys got like $9 million there. So that's what I would recommend that the Assembly propose to administration so that some of the other 10 requests by the six communities can be partially funded. So I would appreciate that they would look at that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Henry. Any other public comment at this time on any agenda item? Okay.
Hi, hey, Mayor Alvin, this is Della.
Hello, Della.
Hi, Alvin. A couple things. I sat and listened to the discussion on the agenda, and the one item that came up in talking about the maintenance that needs to be done on the airport, what's the facility in Cold Bay, the terminal. And then I'm just kind of questioning, because they only have the FAA and Weather Service still leasing the facilities, Is the borough looking to do anything as trying to get another air carrier or some other support within the region, because the problems that we're continuing to have with Penair and Raven at this point?
Okay. So, Annie, you want to take this?
Sure, Mayor Rossback. And Della, currently we are in the process of trying to fill the lower level of the terminal building. As you say, right now we only have FAA and National Weather Service on the top floor, which is paying rent to us an amount of $139,000. But we are looking at filling the bottom. We have gone out to entities asking for people with interest, and the only two so far on the larger air carrier size, let me clarify, is Penair, who's now Raven, and Grant Aviation. We're currently in the process of completing the lease, and then we're going to start negotiations. But this was open to a larger pool of entities, but those are the only two that have shown any interest in the facility. So, I don't know if that answered your question, but that's
cool. Thank you. Thank you, Annie. Again, to Mayor Osterbeck. I guess my bigger question with all this is the borough going to be trying to do something to help with the issues that we have with transportation to and from the region?
I don't really understand your question as far as, you know, if you're talking about the, I don't know if you call it reliability or the frequency of the flights, maybe more so, the group called the A-team met, and we signed letters stating the concerns in the area to the carriers. But other than that, I'm not sure there's anything else we can do. Is that what you're talking about?
Thank you, Mayor Alvin. That is exactly what we're talking about. We still, there's just been a lot of concerns in the community, and you know, I hear it in the region when I travel, not only just how bad it is, and the concern is whether there's going to be any potential of another carrier that can help with this or another solution in the future, but I'm just expressing the concern.
No, I think the concerns are all the way to the end of the chain with what's going on as far as that goes. You know, and another thing is the ferry system. We've been working through the legislative offices, responding to their likely cuts and what would happen to the communities out in this district if they do it. So both on air carriers and on the ferry system, we've been making comments and talking to folks, but other than that, I don't think we have a lot of choices other than that. But okay. Do we have anyone else with public comments? Since we've answered Della's, I guess, I just thought we were taking comments, but I could answer Henry's concerns a little bit. I think when you look at our unencumbered the monies that we have in there, you also have to remember that we've been doing projects, and on some of the projects we still owe quite a bit of money, you know, whether they're closeouts with the quarry engineers, lawsuits with over projects that were done, because they're done federal core projects, when you take a look at those, we're reliable for 20%, even 20% of the costs when they have a losing lawsuit. We're responsible for a portion of the legal fees as they get attributed to the core for the lawsuit that they lost. When you add all those up, there really isn't any unencumbered funds when they finally pick up the phone and ask for their money. So I think the borough is being very, we have to be very conservative and what we're doing right now with what the state of Alaska is doing, with the, not knowing if the governor's going to veto or what he's going to do as this thing progresses along. But I think we're spending the money that we need to. There's not a lot of room when we're looking at the 4%. There's projects that the borough has to do, things that we need to keep going forward on. And then what is left, it was a decision done in administration to, rather than partially fund, you know, numerous projects, I had talked to Annie and thought it was best to find projects that we could fully fund and get them off the list and see what takes place here in the next year, but that's kind of where we are on that. And I think if you wanted numbers on what is owed, we could probably get them to you, but numbers are quite high. Okay, with that, if there's no other public comments at this time on agenda items, go down to item 5. So we need a motion and a second to approve the minutes of the April 11th.
Motion, Warren.
Thank you, Warren. Second by Paul. Everybody had a chance to go over the minutes. Is there any corrections or additions to the minutes? Paul?
Tina mentioned something in the workshop. Maybe she could restate those.
It was just a couple typos. I missed AMO on the staff listing, and on the March financials, I typed in February financials. The bottom half.
Okay.
Those have already been corrected.
Any other comments on the minutes? If not, if there's no objections, the minutes will stand as written. Thank you. Okay. Financial reports. The March amendment, Annie?
Yes, Mayor, back in assembly. Before you use a revised March 2019 financials, about a week ago, we noticed some discrepancies in that were due to some errors with our programming or software system, which is BDS. So we went in and made some changes. There were also a few changes to the general fund revenue to accurately reflect a cost that should have been put into a different line item, and the raw fish tax amount was adjusted accordingly to accurately reflect what was received in March of 2019. The others were mostly items that were done with the BDS software, not totaling numbers properly, and it also deleted a few things that were added back in like they were supposed to. So the BDS software has since been updated, and everything should be accurate now, but this is before you just for reconsideration, and if approved, this will replace the financials that were approved at the last meeting.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just for a point of order, I assume, like Annie mentioned, we need a motion to reconsider,
yeah,
and then if that passes, we'll pass a new motion.
So are you making a motion?
Yes. A motion to reconsider March financial.
Okay.
Second, Ingrid.
Okay, second
March
by
2019.
Ingrid. Okay. And then discussion.
The intent is to take it off the books, add a new motion with the corrections that Annie stated, and vote that in. If we do pass this, thank you.
Any other discussion? Okay.
We did a motion to reconsider prior to the amendment.
Okay.
Adopted.
Okay. So let me get this straight then. So on this, do we have to make another motion
afterwards?
Yeah. After we get through
the reconsideration.
Okay. So on this first motion that we need to call a question on.
Tina?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Tom? Tom?
Yes. Sorry. Unmute. Sorry.
That's right. Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we're done with that, right?
Well, yeah, Mr. Brown, move that we adopt March 2019 financial report as corrected, as explained by Annie during the workshop.
Okay.
I'll second it. This is Chris.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Okay, is there any other discussion on it?
Just told me that Annie did a good job finding why we need to do this. Thank you.
All right. Okay, so all the questions.
Carol?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, now just letting you know, Daly's here.
Daly's here? She called her. Or she just showed up? I don't know if she's there. Okay. Okay, we have before us now we need a motion and a second to put the April financial report.
So moved.
Moved by Ingrid.
I'll second it, Chris.
Okay, second by Chris. Annie?
Mr. Mayor, back in assembly. Before you is the April 2019 financials. These, everything is kind of tracking along as it has been in the past. The one item I'd like to highlight is in Fund 22 under revenue. So I'm looking at R22301, the helicopter and ticket sales. We did bring in an additional $61,664 in ticket sales from the hovercraft, from which I believe is from Trident and some others for past due invoices. And I'd like to really thank Mary, Glenora, and Jackie and Roxanne for collecting those, because I know it was a challenge, if you will. But that's great to have that revenue come in. Other than that, everything else is tracking along like it should.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Annie? Hearing none. Question?
Mr. Mayor, if I could.
You have a comment on the April financial?
I have a question. I just have a question. I just have a question for Annie, if I may, please.
Go ahead.
I was just wondering where we're at with the harbor litigation for the $339,000 for the False Pass Harbor stuff with Kelly Ryan.
Right.
Wait, Tommy. You two have to wait.
I'm sorry.
We're just doing the financial, so if the question doesn't pertain to that, you'll have to hold off on it. So.
Okay. All right. Yep.
Call the question.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes. Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Warren?
You got Warren there, Tina?
Yeah, I just called you, Warren.
Okay, yes, sorry.
All right. Daly?
Yes.
Sam? Samantha? Yes. Tom?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, it passes. So before you, you have the March investment report. It's in your packet. So hopefully everybody's had a chance to look through that. And if there's any questions, now would be a good time to ask them. Okay. So now, before I go on, so Annie, is this something you want to answer now, or can we address Tommy's question later?
I can answer it now.
Okay, go ahead.
So if I'm correct, Tom, you're referencing the monies in the bond account, an amount of $330-some-thousand. So the False Pass Harbor litigation is still ongoing. I don't really have any updates on that at the moment. So those funds are still sitting in the bond that can be used to help offset some of the costs of the litigation. But it is my understanding if this litigation occurs, as Mayor Osterbach mentioned earlier, we will be responsible for $20,000 of those fees for the lawsuit and litigation fees, and they're still trying to finalize those numbers. But if we're trying to figure out a way that we don't have to end up paying it, but it would be upwards of $4 million. So we're still in the process, and nothing's been finalized on the litigation level at this point in time, but I will keep you updated as I learn more.
Annie,
I
think in the beginning you made a mistake. It's 20%, not $20,000.
Sorry, 20%. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I know. You've been talking so long, it's just coming.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Tommy?
Yeah, I knew that. I was just wondering how long we might be into litigation on this stuff. That's because it's been going on for years. So just
right.
Curious. Thank you.
Okay. Under we don't have anything under consent agenda today, so we need a motion and a second to open the public hearing on Ordinance 1908, amending Section 2.20.080, Appointment of Officers, Chapter 2.29 of the AAB Code of Ordinances, Finance Department.
This is Brenda. Make that motion.
This is Chris. I'll second it.
Thank you, Chris. So before us, we have the public hearing. And before I open it, maybe, Annie, you want to give a little refresher?
Yes, Mayor Osbeck, and Assembly, before you is Ordinance 1908. This was introduced at the last meeting. The purpose of this amendment is to both specify that going forward, the position of the Borough Finance Director is similar to the Borough's other top appointed officials, which are confidential in nature, and that the individual who fills that position will in the future serve at the pleasure of the Borough Mayor, and it will revise the code in Section 2.20.080 and Chapter 2.29 to reflect that. The revisions will not apply to the current finance director, who has already been appointed the position prior to the revision. Her right to continue employment has already been vested, and the administration has concluded that as a result, she may only be terminated from borough employment for good cause. At the last meeting, it was suggested that a memo be placed in the finance director's files to preserve the history and maintain her rights as present. The memo has been drafted and will be finalized if the Ordinance 1908 is approved. If there's any questions, please let me know.
Okay. Thank you. So at this time, we'll open the public hearing on Ordinance 19-08. Hearing no public comment. The public hearing is closed. We'll call a question on the ordinance.
Oh. Yes.
Chris.
Yes.
Errol?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Thank you. Josie?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. So before us, we have Introduction Ordinance 19-09, adopting the operating and capital budget for FY 2020. Motion.
So moved. This is Carol.
It's Brenda, second.
Thank you, Carol. Second by
Brenda.
Okay. Annie, would you like to touch on this one?
It's my pleasure. All right, before you is Ordinance 1909, which is adopting the operating capital budget for FY20. At the work session, we went in great detail on every line item. I will try to summarize it, but if there are any questions, please let me know. Basically, the premise of this budget is that the governor's proposed FY20 budget at the state level includes the removal of school bond debt reimbursement, harbor bond debt reimbursement, and the shared fisheries tax program from the state of Alaska budget. The House and Senate are in the process of completing their budgets, and then the governor will have the ability to do a line item veto. Therefore, administration does not anticipate the state budget being completed by the July 1, 2019, which is the beginning of the borough's fiscal year. Administration is recommending that we anticipate not receiving the items listed above and go into the budget with the worst case scenario mindset. Without these funds, the borough will not receive approximately $3.2 million in FY20, which equates to roughly 40% of the borough's anticipated revenues. Administration hopes that the final approved state budget will include bond debt reimbursement and the shared fisheries tax funds, or at least a portion of these revenue sources. If they are included, then administration will present a budget amendment to the Assembly for consideration at that time. The proposed FY20 budget summary is in this packet. There is information regarding permanent fund earning allocations, has community budget requests, it has each funding request in here as well. But according to this summary on the spreadsheet, the expected FY20 revenue is $5,111,621.92. Expected FY20 expenditures out of FEST Fund 01, which is our general fund, Fund 3, which is our bonds, and Fund 41, which is our maintenance accounts, is expected to be $6,719,952. The expected FY20 helicopter transfer, which is in Fund 22, is $804,516, and expected transfer from the Cold Bay Terminal, which is also reflected in Fund 22, is a surplus of $12,000.22, which means the expected deficit for FY20 is $2,400,824.08. Please note this assumes that this is a 0% in state revenues for shared fisheries business tax programs and bond debt reimbursement, and includes a 3% cost of living increase for employees and funding education at an amount of $800,000. Are there any questions on that? Okay. There are a few options that the Borough Assembly may consider, and if there's anything else you'd like to consider, it would be great to include that. But some options are either doing the minimum required contribution, which is $517,841 for education. We're mandated to fund that. The max is around $1.3 million. What administration has put in this budget is $800,000. But if you choose to go down to the $517,000 level, it's approximately a difference of $282,159. And the other option is not to fund the 3% COLA increase for employees, which equates to approximately $28,064. And with these two combined, there could be a difference of $310,223, which would decrease the deficit to $2,090,601.80. At the bottom of this memo, there is a table that shows different scenarios if state funds come in. As you can see in the 0%, there's a $0.4 million deficit, which is reflected in our financials. If we get 25%, there's approximately a $1.5 million deficit. 50% of the state revenues, we're looking at a $785,000 deficit. And then once we hit around the 70% getting money back, we're back in the black at about $22,493. And then if we get 100%, it goes to $830,265 in the black. So just to show different possible scenarios. And I have no idea what the state's going to do, but I just wanted to outline those for your reference. In order to compensate for the deficit, administration is recommending that we take the funds out of the general fund balance. At the time, our audit, FY18 audit, is still not done, so I don't have a clue what is in our unassigned fund balance at the moment, but I anticipate it being around $9 million. Please note, this is a short-term fix by supplementing our budget this year of $2.4 million deficit. It's a short-term fix, which is not sustainable since those funds are limited. So throughout the next year, administration will be looking at long-term solutions, which may include new revenue sources and additional cuts for the FY21 budget cycle. So that's the memo explaining everything. The next section, pages 4 through 20, 4 through something, goes through each item individually on your spreadsheet and shows where the entry or where the revenue is coming from, and then it also shows the changes in the expenditures. In the spreadsheet, the green shows all the increases and the red shows what's been decreased. So I don't know how detailed you want me to go into it, Mr. Mayor, but let me know if anybody wants any more information on that in particular for Fund 01, which is our general fund.
Okay. Yeah, I think, during the workshop, you basically talked for 2 hours nonstop on it. So I think if the assembly has individual questions, it would probably be now.
Paul? Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with you, Annie. Did a great job presenting this budget in the workshop. And there's always room for questions, too. And the one question I did bring up was about the AED fish tackle over the last 2 years. And if she doesn't have that, I doubt she had time. Annie had time. But maybe a memo between now and the 23rd, kind of outlining the last 2 years, would be helpful for me and looking at the big picture. But the assembly is going to have to make some choices at the second reading and adoption of this agenda on the 23rd. And I know I want to look at it some more. And thanks again.
Sure. And you got that, Annie, right? So maybe Ernie or somebody.
Correct. So we do have a memo that has been drafted by the Natural Resources Department regarding raw fish tax. We had a meeting. It did increase what we expect to receive in FY20. We had a meeting amongst the Natural Resources Department, Roxanne, Mary, Mayor Osterbach, and myself, and we have some statistics where it says the average last 10 dropped to the high years is about $4.1 million, which is where we took this number, and I'll be happy to share that with the Assembly.
Yes, and of course, I'd like to look at the individual years, but that's fine.
That's on there.
Give you the individual years.
Okay,
what we looked at.
Thank you.
Ingrid?
I think that Annie said during the workshop that she could provide us the backup for the request, and I know that kind of addresses some of the concerns that Henry had. I don't know that it would change anything, but it would be helpful since we can get it electronically. It would be helpful to maybe have that to take a look at to consider for that next meeting.
Yes, we can include all the requests in the packet. But there is an overview in here outlining everything, too. Just an overview.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor. Carol, I looked at the few options the borough might consider, and I would like to keep the school at $800,000. I think $517,000 and hope for the best, but I'd like to see us not cut the school. If we have more money, they can come and get more if they need it, but I don't want to cut them. Plus, on the cost of living,
$28,000 doesn't seem like that much money to take away from the employees when it kind of is, what, $1,000 or $1,500 to some of them for a whole year. So I don't think that's really a sizable savings anywhere. And I do agree on finishing off projects. I do. We have these big workshops. We get these projects. We need to finish them. And if $27,220 helps the city of False Pass, whatever, I don't have a problem with it. The Cold Bay stuff has been going on for so long now. We need to just step it up and try to help them. King Cove Access, road line, I think we've got some money. Give them the rest of the money, and let's bring it up to where we're supposed to be at. Property surveys, let's get them done. I think we just need to finish stuff. We seem to start something.
Drag it on.
Yeah, drag it, thank you. Drag it on or go in a different direction. I agree with what the administration has here on what to fund and stuff, and let's get stuff cleaned up so we can move on. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Okay. Thank you, Carol. Anyone
this
else?
Is Brenda. Oh, well said. I agree with what she has to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Ingrid?
I want to echo that agreement, too. I did want to note, however, the school funding was a $100,000 reduction. I know it's not a historical reduction, but I'm assuming the $100,000 last year was based on need. And I know in the workshop we talked about that we would consider any requests for needs. So I just want to echo that as that comes up later with the potential of whatever's going on in the state budget, there is the potential that there's going to be more need at the school district, and I know that we support that, and definitely supporting the COLA and many of the other items that Carol mentioned also. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ingrid. And on that, again, you know, I'd like to express all the years that I've ever sat on the assembly, the school funding has never been a problem.
I think everybody in the area knows that education is something that is at the very top of our list that we need to take care of. So I think as the state comes to whatever they're going to do on their budget in the end, we get to take a look at everything again. We'll probably have a meeting at some point to amend our budget to reflect what the state does. But I don't see a problem with that. Any other comments?
I just have one more question. On our little thing, it showed the city of Sound Point for that task force thing, and I guess the real number is $87,239,000, right? And looking at it, you know, I think this is a very good thing because it just doesn't help Sound Point. It helps drugs going into Kobe, King Cove, helps the small communities. So I would totally think that this would be well worth it. Well worth it for us to take on as a request.
Yeah. Thank you, Carol. Yeah, I agree with you 100% that it kind of helps protect throughout the whole region. Other comments?
This is Chris here in King Cove, Mayor Osterbeck. I do support a lot of what's in this ordinance. I agree with everyone else on education being our top priority, and I think we should always try to fund that as full as possible. I also agree with Carol and Brenda, too, that we've got a lot of projects that they seem to get started, but they seem to never get done, and it seems like the costs continually go up every year that they're not completed, and so I'm glad that we are seeing some of these projects come to a close, but I agree. Education is our top priority here in within the borough.
Thank you. Any others? Ingrid?
I really thought about what was said about the Nelson Lagoon reappropriating that money, and And I know the erosion has been an issue, and they obviously don't have a plan for how they're going to deal with that project. But I'm still a little uncomfortable with reappropriating that $35,000 when it's such a huge need in El Lagoon to figure out how to deal with that erosion. And I understand. I hope we'll revisit it in the future. But I know that's just, it's going to be an ongoing issue. So as that happens, I guess I just put it out there as a concern. Thank you.
Okay. And Annie, is Samantha there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any comments on this one?
Actually, we just got done with the APICTA conference, and we had talked about they had come out with a new grant program this year. So we're actually going to apply for that to finish up with our erosion project. So, personally, I don't have any problem putting that money towards the dock, because I think, we don't know if we're going to get to do it, if we're going to get to do it with that money, but the money's there, so that's, we're planning on using a pick of money to finish it.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. So, okay. Any other comments on the budget at this time? So, remember, this is the meeting where we schedule, so as you can write things down, and we can talk about it at the next meeting, too. Paul?
Motion to move to have second reading and public hearing at the May 23rd special meeting.
We have a motion.
We have a motion.
Oh, we already have a motion before. Sorry. Yeah.
So, what Paul is
order. Sorry.
No. So, basically, the motion would be to schedule for public hearing, and Paul's just adding in at the special meeting May 23rd. So that's all we need to do with that, right? And then hold on.
We call a question?
Yes.
Call a question.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Bailey?
Or yes, sorry.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So it will be on the agenda on May 23rd. So I don't understand why it took Annie 20 minutes to do the budget. So we are down to resolution. So we need a motion and a second for resolution 19-65.
I make a motion. This is Chris for the resolution.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Josie?
Yes.
Okay. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, after back in assembly, before you use Resolution 1965, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract extension with Dowell to provide professional engineering, project management, and construction management services for the Aleutians East Borough. The borough went out to RFP in July 2015 for professional engineering project management services. We had received 11 proposals and selected Dowell. Our contract was from 2015 through 2017 with an option to renew for an additional 3 years. We are now on our third year extension, and the borough recommends approval of this so we can continue with them for one more year.
Okay. Paul?
Thanks. The minimum amount is $25,000, and I don't know how much more we'll spend. So I don't have any objection this year, but I'd sure like to see it go to bid again. Whatever we did in 2016,
correct.
RFP for a firm, we could do that later, but we have a year to think about it. But I don't have any objection to why I'm voting yes.
I think the correct, it's $25,000 or less, not minimum.
Okay.
Whatever you call it. Whatever's in there in writing, I'll support that.
Okay. Any other comments?
Mayor Oshbeck, this is Chris. This was the outfit that we hired to do the feasible studies on all the borough buildings.
Yes, this is Annie. So we hire them as our, like, in-house engineers, if you will, and we have a $25,000 agreement with them where we can go get anything that we need done that's not under a project necessarily. And then when we need, like, for instance, the school assessments, we entered into a separate scope of work with them for those services, but it's through Dow because we're under contract with them for acting as our engineer.
Okay. Yeah, and I know, I think it was about a year ago, I know we got a thing back from Dow as to a breakdown of all the things that needed to be done within the schools and some of the other borough buildings, and I know that's helped the borough assembly to prioritize things that need to be done right away to correct problems in those buildings, and I think this has been an awesome program, and I know it's really helped us out, like I said, prioritizing things. So,
Mr. Mayor, this is Carol. Annie, I have a question. Do you use the $25,000?
We do.
You do?
Yes,
okay.
We do. And it's a line of it. We don't always use the whole amount because we can actually designate it for a project.
Right.
But it is helpful. So there's been a few instances where we just needed assistance, and that's where we pay for that out of it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? Hearing none? Questions?
Linda?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. So before us is Resolution 19-66, authorizing the administration to engage in a contract negotiations with McClintock Land Associates for the Bear Lake Survey Project in the summer of 2019 for an amount not to exceed $140,000. So looking for a motion and a second.
This is Brenda. Resolution 19-66.
Okay, so we have a motion by Ingrid, second by Brenda.
Brenda.
Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck, before you, Resolution 1966, and I'm going to have Ernie speak on this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ernie Weiss, Natural Resources Director. So before you, there's a packet memo, a proposal from McClintock Land Associates, and a resolution, 1966. That resolution, if approved, would allow the administrator to engage in contract negotiations up to $140,000. McClintock's proposal to survey Bear Lake municipal lands of the borough, it comes in at $124,000 and change, and that's before he has the survey instructions in hand that are required before we start going back. The borough assembly started a fund, $85,000 per year in fiscal year 2017. We started with the Port Moeller lands, which have an important commercial property, and we did that in 2017. Through the strategic planning process, we the next year did municipal land selections at Sandy River because of the commercial lands there, and we were going to do one more commercial area at Bear Lake before kind of putting this project to a close for a while. As you know, you get municipal land selections, and there's a bunch, like 7,600 acres that were approved for the borough, but then they need to be surveyed before they can actually be conveyed. And so that's the process that we're undergoing. And so with the proposed budget, putting in only $75,000 this year, that would be enough to cover what's in the resolution, and I would recommend that the administration negotiate a contract less than that, but that would be a cushion, because this is just an estimated proposal because we don't have all the facts in yet. So I can answer any questions, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for Ernie?
One comment from Warren here. Ernie, or I guess this is a question. When we went ahead and surveyed all these lands, and then we turned around and we sold some of those parcels, did that pay for the money we paid out to do the survey?
I would defer to Annie. I know we did get a check. I never saw the check from Peter Pan. We sold lands to Peter Pan, and we got rid of a dump there in Port Mullen, and that was a good thing as well. But those monies were not added to this account, I don't think.
No. Those would have just gone back into the general fund. Roxanne, I'm pretty sure that's where they would go, right?
Yes, Annie. They did go in the general fund.
Okay. Are there any other comments on Resolution 1966? Paul?
Thank you. I'm probably not going to vote for this resolution at this time. We're budget's a little short, and I don't think it's a priority. We have other things right now that, you know, maybe next year things will be clearer and we can appropriate the money, but that's quite a bit of money. And so today I'm not going to. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? So, and then, you know, just to be clear, too, if this goes passes this year, this will be the last survey monies we'll be spending for quite a few years, I believe. And it'll finish off that section over there that's needed. Anyway, if there's no other comments, call a question on the resolution.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul? Carol?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 19-67, authorizes the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract amendment with LCG Landtech, Inc. to provide architectural engineering services for the Cold Bay Clinic project in the amount not to exceed $21,000. We need a motion and a second.
This is Brenda. So moved.
Second.
Thank you, Brenda.
Josie.
Okay. Second by Josie. Annie.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck, before you is Resolution 1967, and I'm going to ask Mary to speak on this, please.
Sure. Thanks, Annie, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members. So, as you know, we're continuing with the Cold Bay Clinic project, and we've been doing some design work to update the design from the 2013 original design that was done through ANTHC and Larson Consulting Group, which is now LCG Landtech. So on February 7th, the borough entered into a contract with LCG to make changes to the 2013 design and to bring it up to code for 2020 construction. Part of that contract was to conduct a value-added engineering analysis that included reviewing construction methods and materials that may be more appropriate for the environment and the intended use of the building. And part of that conversation with EASE and with the city was also to see if some of the needs have changed, some of the spatial needs have changed, the equipment needs have changed, so that conversation took place as well. And the goal of that analysis was to find the potential cost savings during construction and or operation of the facility. So after that contract was signed, LCG submitted their recommendations for a revised scope of work to include incorporating the suggested changes into the design. Additional changes have been requested by EAT, as I mentioned, and have been incorporated into the fee estimate provided by LCG. The revised scope of work also includes coordinating the cost estimate and submitting permitting materials to the fire marshal, and doing that cost estimate is part of the Quarter 1 strategic plan. So we recommend approval of this resolution 1967. Thanks.
Okay. Okay. Questions? Paul?
Thanks, Mary. Remember I mentioned I was going to ask you about energy efficiency every time it came up. So the question I have, I support the project. It sounds very reasonable. But do we have a narrative from this LCG firm about how they're handling energy efficiency? Do we have something in writing from them that kind of we can look at? Thank you.
Sure. We don't have anything officially in writing for energy efficiency specifically, but I can ask them to do that and send that to you when I can.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mary? Okay. Question on the motion?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Dulce?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we're done with resolutions and on to old business. We've got the King Cove Corporation reimbursement request. At this time, it's a discussion item. And you want to lead into this, Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck. In assembly, before you, the King Cove Corporation reimbursement request, we did discuss this at the last meeting, and it's back before you. The information in the first part, the reimbursement request summary, hasn't changed, but we did receive a letter on April 12, 2018, from the King Cove Corporation stating that a few years back, King Cove Corporation presented a letter of request to the borough for some form of reimbursement for costs incurred in regard to the road between King Cove and Cold Bay. At that time, we were told to resubmit a letter when the hovercraft was sold. They have since resubmitted or submitted the letter, and requested reimbursement in the amount of $102,409.59 for amounts that were contributed or donated to the City of King Cove, and reimbursements for travel that the King Cove Corporation paid to the borough. They continue to state that these reimbursement request amounts do not count the travel between King Cove, Anchorage, and King Cove for Della Tremble and other shareholders participating in the process. So I've included the payments here below of what they've been requesting, and it is a grand total of $102,409.59. I apologize, I actually didn't include those invoices again, because those were in the last packet, so they're not in here. But at the last meeting, April 11, 2019, the Borough Assembly met to discuss the corporation's request, and at that meeting, the Assembly requested additional information. So we did look for some other information for you, and I was able to find the March 2015 King Cove Corporation letter that they sent. Anyway, it was a long story, but I finally found it. But this letter, basically, it's in here. It states that this letter is requesting a portion for reimbursement for costs contributed to the City of King Cove for the Eisenbeck Land Exchange Project for the sale of the hovercraft. As stated in a letter from Mayor Henry Mack, King Cove Corporation has expended $210,000 plus in land for this project. It continues by stating that the King Cove Corporation is hoping that the borough can reimburse the corporation for some or all of these costs. We were also able to find from the City of King Cove a December 6, 2010 memo from Mayor Henry Mack to Mayor Stanley Mack, and President Dean Gold of the King Cove Corporation, and a December 4th, 2010 project update that outlined the request for funding from the borough and the King Cove Corporation. We were able to find a City of King Cove resolution 1017, which also had that discussion about those monies, the reimbursement or the money request. And then we also included the January 15th, 2015 City of King Cove letter. This was included in the Borough Assembly's April 16, 2015 workshop packet. This outlines requests for funds as well,
And we have since addressed those requests in these things, which is outlined below under the expenditure explanation. After reviewing all these documents, administration agrees that the King Cove Corporation did provide funding to the City of King Cove for the King Cove Access Project. However, there is nothing in these documents that stated the borough would reimburse the King Cove Corporation for these expenditures. Therefore, administration still assumes that there was not a formal written agreement between the borough and King Cove Corporation to reimburse them for these their expenses. The next section is an overview of the expenses. Last time I had a massive typo on the amount that's since been fixed, but to date the borough on these outlined on these expenditures, the borough has expended $1,687,000 and $5.78 in reimbursement the borough provided to the City of King Cove for the project. The borough is also paying for additional items for the project, such as litigation fees, borough attorney fees, borough travel, and personnel time. So borough administration requires a motion from the Assembly on how to proceed. Due to the amount of the request, this decision falls outside the mayor's spending authority and is therefore at the discretion of the Assembly. There's three potential options on how to proceed, and these are outlined that, one, you do not pay the reimbursement request for the following reasons: the lack of written agreement, stale invoices. Two, pay all or a portion of the request with contingencies. Contingencies could include that this is a one-time and final payment, and any future payment or payments to the King Cove Corporation or any other organization for any past borough-related project expenses would require a formal written agreement to fulfill the request, and any present or future borough-related project payment requests would have to be pre-approved and agreed to in writing. And there was a sample MOU that was in the last packet. And the third option is to pay all or a portion of the request in response to the April 12, 2018 letter without any contingencies. If the Assembly moves to pay all or a portion of the request, this will need to be approved via resolution at the July 2019 Assembly meeting, because we won't be having a June meeting. Funds for this reimbursement could be appropriated from the AEB hovercraft proceeds account. And if the Assembly moves to not pay the reimbursement request, then this request will not be brought before the Assembly at a future meeting. So it's open for discussion.
Okay, I'll take the first move. This is Carol. I have no problem at all with the travel expense. I think that the corporation paid back the borough for the travel, and I have no problem giving them back their travel. I do have a problem on the $90,000 going back to the city. The corporation donated, gave, did whatever, this money to the city. And I don't think that the borough should be responsible for an agreement between the city and the King Cove Corporation. So in that, everybody has put out a lot of time, a lot of money, the city of King Cove, the King Cove Corporation, the borough, everybody has got a lot vested in this project. And I tip my hat to everybody for the work they've done. But I feel like if we okay this $90,000, that everybody's going to come out of the woodwork and everybody's going to want payback for something. And I just feel that if we start this now, it's never going to end, because we're going to have to, if somebody's gone over on their project, they're going to come back to the borough. And I just think we're setting ourselves up for a lot in the future. But to give the corporation back their travel money, I have no problem with that. But the corporation gave the city of King Cove the money, and I don't think the borough should be responsible to pay the city back. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Hello, this is Josie. I'd like to agree with Carol. When you're reading it, it's saying this amount that was donated, it just seems funny to have to reimburse for a donation, and especially since nothing was agreed upon prior. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Gary, can I speak at this point, or would you rather hear from the rest of the assembly first?
I think we should go through the assembly before we start into anything else. See,
sure.
See what they've got. And it would kind of help you probably form whatever you're going to say to.
Paul? Yeah, just a quick comment. Some of these are very old. 2010, I think, is on some of them, and there's no written agreement, so I'm going to have a hard time supporting this. Thank you.
Any other assembly comments? Ingrid?
I'm just having difficulty finding the travel amount that Carol's referring to. Can you point that out to me?
$12,409.59. Under it says Kinko payments on the Kinko reimbursement, and then it shows Aleutian East payments on the bottom. That's the one. There. $12,409.59.
Thank you.
Any other assembly comments?
So, Mayor, I'll be back. This is Chris Babcock. I think we really need to look into this. I know that the Kinko Corporation has done a lot with this project, and even with the donation of land, and it seems like we don't really put a price on the land that they were going to give up, and I don't think that's right. And this is something we certainly need to look into, and certainly reimburse them for what they have done on this project.
Okay, so I'm clear on that. Are you asking them to add a reimbursement for the land?
No, I'm just saying in that letter that was attached back there, it was saying $210,000 back. Oh, where is that letter?
I know what you're talking
back
about.
On the dean wrote back on March 2nd, 2015. You know, it says this letter is requesting a portion for reimbursement for the cost contributed to the city of King Cove for the Eisenbach Land Exchange project per the scale of the hovercraft, as stated in the letter from the mayor. Henry Mack of King and the King Cove Corporation has expended $210,000 plus and land for this project. And, you know, it seems like we always hear, oh, the corporation's getting this land. Well, there is a value for that land, you know, and I'm not saying that we need to add that, but I certainly think we need to entertain that in what they're, you know, what they're requesting.
Okay. You know, and just so you know, back when and Della's there, she can, and so is Gary, but when Zinke and Della signed a letter on the land, so basically what Zinke had said at the time, if it's 500 acres, there would be a fair exchange. So basically they had to come out ahead, so it would be like 501 acres to 500 acres. So that is my understanding of that portion of it. So, if there's no other assembly comments, Gary, I'll let you make a statement, but I don't want you to start at day one and read through this whole thing.
I'll assure you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not going to do that. I would like to say, though, that I certainly support what the King Cove Corporation is asking for, and I think it's a very simple parallel to what the city did. Some of you who've been on the assembly a long time know that we had a few tumultuous years between the city of King Cove and the previous administration, getting the administration, the prior administration, to finally acknowledge the incredible amount of money that the city spent early on when the borough had been asked numerous times to help, and for whatever reason back in the 2010, 11, 12, 13 time frame, that didn't happen. The King Cove Corporation did come forward back in 2008, 2009 and said, we can help a little. That's where the first $120,000 contribution came from then, and then followed by the $90,000. So for the borough to say, hey, we got $210,000 into this, and it wasn't King Cove City's project. We were the ones administering it, spending incredible sums of money dealing with the EIS and all the consultants. But we couldn't stop, and we haven't stopped. But the city got to the point where we could simply no longer continue to do what we were doing, and that's why we had a couple fairly explosive city council borough assembly meetings dealing with this, and the borough assembly finally, under the previous administration, came whole, if you will, with the city. So now comes the corporation saying, well, what about us? And I think the same logic that applied and all the documentation and all the words back and forth that accomplished what the city needed is what the corporation is asking for. To me, it seems pretty logical. In the end, they're saying if we can get back about half of what we put in, we'd be okay with that. And that's what the city ended up agreeing to. And again, you can read the 10s and 20s and 30 and 40 page documents that I was writing that documented all that, that the city in the end got about half of what we've got into it reimbursed from the borough. And we're very thankful. We're very happy. Don't want to go back and lose any more sleep over any of that. And now the corporation is saying, why shouldn't that happen with us? And I believe it should. So I guess I just wanted to speak to that on behalf of my opinion and sort of the history of being so wound up in this issue for such a long time.
Okay. Thank you for your comments, Gary. Does the Assembly have any other comments they want to make? Is there anyone else out there that wants to make a comment? If not,
Mayor Osterbeck, after the Borough Assembly, I'd like to speak. This is Della.
Hey, Della.
Okay, first of all, I kind of want to go back a little bit just to briefly say that when we went back in 2015, at the time, the same time that the city was making the request, we were told that we to bring this back when the hovercraft was sold. And the hovercraft being the part of the $37.5 million that we got from the 1996 King Cove Health and Safety Act, that's basically where that all piece, and we all know that, of course, the hovercraft went to Accutan. This request, I think, is we brought back after when it was sold, and basically what Gary says is technically we did, $210,000, and eventually the borough did pay back the city two-thirds of the cost, and that didn't consider the amount that was contributed by KCC to the city. And basically, right now, we're going to give up 500-plus acres for land exchange because it's got to be by appraised value. It may be more than 500 acres, but we will contribute that to this project to see completion if we can, to make sure that it does get completed. I also kind of want to bring up something that has never been put into this, but it should be taken into consideration, is at the old hovercraft site that is down in Leonard's Harbor, the first site that's been taken apart and moved to the end of the existing road now, the approach from the Cold Bay side, we gave that land and let them use that land for an approach from that side because the approach from the airport side was, depending on which way the wind was blowing, was a lot easier and safer. I think this point, you know, we're asking for that of the 105, that's 50%. And I personally, you know, looking at what we put out to this in time and money, I know my time has been, you know, one of the people involved with this has been a good chunk of my life in doing this, and I do want to see it complete. But I don't feel like our request is that unfair to be on behalf of King Cove Corporation.
Okay, thank you, Della. Okay, anybody else? If not,
I think this is how we need to go forward on this. As Annie stated when we started on this issue, basically it's not a decision that administration can make because it's outside of our dollar value, I guess, or what have you. So this is something the assembly has to do. So I'm not exactly sure where the assembly is on this, but to move forward, if you wanted to do any of the three that Annie had laid out before you when we started or something else, there'd need to be a motion and a second to bring a resolution before the assembly on the May 23rd meeting. So with that, I'll kind of leave it open to the assembly if somebody wants to take a shot at this.
This is Ingrid. I do want to take a shot at it, just so that we get something on the table to discuss. And I want to make a motion that we consider about 75% of the request, with $40,000 to be paid this year and $40,000 to be paid next year. That brings us in at $80,000, which is about 75% of the $105,000, and it helps us deal with the budget issues that we're facing. I think the corporation has contributed just both time and land and effort towards this, and so my motion again was to get a resolution with the intention of $40,000 being paid this year, $40,000 being paid next year. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Is there a second?
Chris Babcock here. I accept that motion. I second that. I know I understand what Carol was saying earlier, but, you know, it's a case-by-case scenario. Those people would have to come before the borough. Are those corporations, you know, we're addressing the King Cove Corporation right now. And I think what Ingrid has brought to the table is fair. They do need to get some reimbursement. If it wasn't for the corporation, we wouldn't even be looking at what we're doing right now. So I second what Ingrid has on the table.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. So we have a motion and a second to do a 40,000 split 2020 and 2021 budget to settle the request by the King Cove Corporation. Before we have too much discussion, on one of the things I would hope that the assembly would include in it is to Annie has it written down as far as that this, there would be no further claims anywhere in the borough beyond this point to include in that resolution, if that resolution was to pass. I hate to see the borough open itself up to claims in the future, and I think in our last meeting that was brought up by Mayor Joe, that is this what you're doing? So, I don't know, Annie, do you have something to...
I would just accept that as a friendly amendment. I think it's her option, Annie's option number two, which included that we wouldn't accept anything that didn't have a prior written agreement and the MOU as proposed by Annie. And I think we can just include that as a friendly amendment.
That'd be good, Annie?
Yes.
Chris, would you accept that? Oh, in 2019 or 2020?
No, the
2020 and 2021.
Yes.
Okay, that's
Chris has the second. Would you concur with that?
Can we call the question?
I was asking if you concurred with the maker of the motion to include language that Penny had on her second alternative.
Yes, I heard that. Yes, I recommend what Annie had is.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any other comments from the assembly? Discussion? Call the question?
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
No.
Chris?
Yes.
Harold?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Chelsea?
No.
Tom?
Abstain.
Daily?
Yeah. Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, thank you. So that will show up on the May 23rd meeting, special meeting. Okay, we're off to new business. We have donation requests for us. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterback and Assembly. So before you are the donation request, the borough has established a donation policy that allows entities within the borough communities to request charitable donations. Requests for donations must be completed and submitted by May 1 or November 1 of each year. The borough has $10,000 available in the FY19 budget as outlined in the borough financials under the line item E01900000757 donations. These funds can cover those requests made on May 1, 2019 for items that qualify for the 2019 fiscal year. On May 1st, the borough received four requests for FY19 funding. Borough administration recommends funding the following donation. So below that is the donation request. We received an APIA Head Start request in the amount of $2,000, City of Sandpoint Cleanup is $1,000, King Cove Fire Rescue Fundraiser of $3,000, and then a request from the Lost Villages Reunion. There was no specific amount requested, but administration is recommending $500 for this. There will be a remaining balance of about $3,500 will remain in the donation line item, but I think we've covered all the requests there. And it's also outlined in the spreadsheet that's behind the memo. The recommendation for the FY20 budget donation line item is $23,500. The FY budget will be introduced at the May 9th meeting, which we've done, and will be presented at a public hearing at the following meeting, which will be May 23rd. Budget approval will dictate whether the FY20 donations approved by the Assembly occur. On May 1, the borough received eight donation requests for FY20 funding. The borough administration recommends funding the following. Colbay EMS in the amount of $3,000. East Colbay Clinic Health Fair in the amount of $250. QTT Culture Camp in the amount of $3,500. QTT Tribe Fall Cleanup in the amount of $250. QTT Tribe Graveyard Cleanup in the amount of $200. Sandpoint Teen Center in the amount of $2,000. Sandpoint Derby fundraiser in the amount of $750, and the City of Sandpoint 4th of July request in the amount of $1,000, which totals $10,950. If this is funded, a remaining balance of $12,550 will remain for FY20 donation line items for future requests. So on the next page is the spreadsheet outlining this, and that's the recommendation from administration on donation requests.
Okay. And thank you, Annie.
I have one question, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
The rest of the areas didn't ask, nobody else asked for money?
No one asked.
I mean, it seems like it's all standpoint.
Yeah, sometimes others request in November.
Okay.
So some other requests will come in November. But yes, this is all we received by the May 1 deadline.
Yeah, to me it just kind of seems like it's all...
Mayor Osterbeck, may I speak on behalf of the King Cove Fire Department's request?
What are you talking to?
I'm sorry for that. It's been a long day. I just want to say that we appreciate the support that we've gotten from the borough the last several years. This is the only fundraiser that the fire department does, and with this money, it goes towards scholarships for graduating high school students here in King Cove, and also goes for other functions that we do in the city here. And as of to date, we will have given away $21,000 in scholarship funds, and we couldn't have done this without the support of the borough and some of the other entities that have supported this. But it also promotes an alcohol and drug-free time, and it's a big turnout. A lot of fishermen from other areas are here getting gear ready, and they attend it too. So I just thank you for the support you guys have done in the last several years, and we'd appreciate your support again this year. Thanks.
Thank you for that. I have one other grant recipient here. Did you have anything you wanted to say?
I just wanted to hear if anybody had any questions. Our Head Start program, we had some leftover funds last year, and so we purchased playground equipment, but there was no budget for the cost of labor and construction and removal of the old equipment, and so that's why we are asking for a donation so we can get those costs. We can have a budget.
And that's your donation that's in here, the $2,000, right?
Yes.
Okay. And just so you guys out there know that, Rhea. Goodbye. You want to say something? Yeah, where's Rhea?
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Paul.
I move that we approve the administration's request for $10,950 for this item, this agenda item.
A second.
That covers it all, Annie?
Yes.
So we have a motion by Paul, second by Josie.
You just got that today, right?
Ingrid, you have a comment? Question?
I'm just a little confused on the $6,500 and the $10,900 in the motion. I don't believe the $6,500 is captured.
That's
2019 money. Oh, it's already covered in this.
Yeah.
Okay.
You hang around here long enough, you'll be confused.
Yeah. Okay, so that needs a separate motion, or we already have that covered?
No.
Question.
Annie, if I'm right on this, the first part that you talked about in there, that total $6,500, that's 2019 money. Mm-hmm. So
right.
The monies that we're talking about now is correct, the $10,950,
2020? So the $6,500 is requests we received in May, this May, for FY19 projects. So those funds get charged to the FY19 donation line item. The other ones, because those activities or those donation requests, whatever they're requesting for, occur in FY20, they're separate, and that's a $10,950. So the motion Assemblymember Grunholt made covers both of those things. So it should be fine. It covers everything.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, just to reiterate what we said in past meetings, for the last several years, it's always been a little confusing. So perhaps next time we can narrow the confusion down a little bit more. We're getting closer to having it not too confusing, but it always has been. And hopefully it won't always will be.
Always looking for change, aren't we?
Okay, so everybody is on board with this.
So there's 6,500 2019 monies, and there is 10,950, which leaves a remaining balance of 12,550 for the rest of in the fall. So, any other comments, questions on the donation? If not,
this is Daly. I have a question.
Oh. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, my Candace submitted a request for a donation for EMS Silver Salmon Derby for this year. You didn't get that?
Daily, that is in there. It's under the FY20 under Colbay EMS for $3,000, which is what we're
talking about. Sounds good. Thanks.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, it's false pass here, Mr. Mayor. We did not get the form until today, so... I guess we didn't know about that, but they will be here in November, I guess. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Questions and call.
Carol.
Yes.
Lauren.
Yes.
Lauren. Ingrid.
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes.
Josie.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for that. And Annie, I guess you guys didn't get my memo to take the holds off of false passes mail, I guess. I don't know why, Tom, you didn't get your... until now, because they were all sent out at the same time. But anyhow, we'll work on it, figure out what went wrong. Next item is the administrator contract agreement. So, it's in your packet, Annie. You have...
in the packet is the contract. My current contract expires on June 30th of this year, and I began in May of 2017. It was for 2 years, so it's time to negotiate a contract. If you'd like to, I guess Alvin and I, Mayor Osterbach and I, have negotiated a contract, and it's before you for your approval. A few changes are that it would be for a 3-year term this time, starting June 1, 2019, so I'm in... and then ending June 30th, 2020, so I'm on the fiscal cycle like everyone else. The contract increased just basically the original contract for $130,000 in May due to the COLA increases. It was now currently $131,172, and this just increases it to $132,000, which is an $828 increase. And then on number six, on page 2 of the document, it was 10 days of additional leave, and it's now 15 days of additional leave on top of the rest that I accrue. And I know last year there was a question that Assemblymember Grunholt had on page 4, number 3. It says their intent is that in the event of death, this agreement shall inure to the benefit of the heirs at law and the executors of the administrator. So I did ask our attorney what that meant because I wasn't quite sure. But basically, in the event of my death, any, like, leave cash outs or anything I have would go to my family, my husband and my children. So that's what that means. Any of those kind of benefits would roll over to my family. So that's what that means, and that is something that I suppose is typical in some agreements like this. So those are the changes. Mayor Osterbeck, I don't know if you have anything else to add.
I think you covered everything in the agreement that we went through. I think we need, maybe we'll need a motion and a second, then I'll talk about it a little bit.
I make a motion that we bring it to the floor. This is Chris.
Second by Ingrid. Oh, now that it's on the floor. Basically, I went through this with Annie, and as you see, she gets that $800 raise or something. And then we included an extra 5 days of leave for her, which I think she's probably really going to deserve. Annie has done a fabulous job, and so has her staff. And I think a lot of that reflects off of Annie and her willingness to share the burden out there and work well. The staff works well with her. I don't think we could find a better administrator than the one that we have. So I would hope you approve the 3-year contract. There's an amazing amount of work being done. You know, since I came on, one of the things that happened was the fall meeting that we have and the planning session pretty much laid everything out. There's a lot of other work, though, that's being done besides that. There's a lot of employee handbook stuff that's been straightened out, attitude changed, what have you. As you can see, I mean, even now we're doing the finance officer changing that out. But as we're going through all of this, they are digging into everything that the borough has. So I think in another probably, I hope they've got... I think a lot of I think when Annie is done with all of the paperwork that we have out there, that this is going to look really good and make it easy for another person if somebody else comes along and steps into the position of administrator. I think it's going to make that changeover go really good. But hopefully she'll be here for quite a few years. So with that, any comments from the assembly?
No, kudos to Annie and her crew. I think they do a great job. We have never seen some of the stuff we've seen lately, so I'm very happy that things are getting fixed up and changed up, and we're moving forward. And to you, Alvin, for the monthly meetings, could it be better? It really makes a big difference, so good job to everybody.
Paul? I was going to support this till Alvin started talking. No, but this coincides pretty good. Last time we did this, we wanted to make sure the overlap wasn't too much after the mayor's election, just in case the mayor gets it by a truck or something. That was my
idea.
This works out pretty good for that. So, and he's doing a great job. So I support this fully. Thank you.
Okay. Well, with that, then, I'm going to... a deal. No more trucks allowed in the parking lot. Okay. Anyone else?
I think it's doing really well. Annie has really stepped up to the plate, taken the job on, and has done a great job for us. I'm very proud of her. Very thankful.
And she's willing to go to False Pass. Hi, Tom.
All right.
This is Chris. Okay. I agree. Annie's done a tremendous job, and I know we see that in the fall when we review the strategic plan, and I can't imagine the time that she spends on that and then also the many other things that she has to do, too. And so I think it'll be good to work with her for another 3 years. So.
Okay. Thank you. Ingrid?
And I just want to say thank you. As a new board member, Annie has worked really hard to pull me up to speed, and I just really appreciate her effort on behalf of the borough.
Okay. All right.
And this is Tom. Thank you, Annie, for your service, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you on the 23rd,
hopefully.
And the rest of the assembly.
I'll be on that plane.
So, okay. You know, and another thing, I mean, we took a long time today to go through this budget, but
all the years that I've spent on the assembly, I think this is the best budget description and explanation that I have seen since I've been on here, and I really appreciate that. So with that, questions on the motion?
Brenda?
Yes.
Sophie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Appreciate it. And good work, Annie. And, Paul, I think that number three, the intent in case of death, is if she works herself to death or something.
That was a hockey break or something.
Oh. Okay. We added, at the beginning of the meeting, we added the Pebble Mine discussion. Who added this? Chris, I believe, right? Chris, you want to say something on this?
I wasn't at the last borough meeting. I was on vacation, and I did listen to it later and was a little disappointed that it never made it to the floor. But I've had some concerned fishermen here in King Cove that were asking, why is the borough not talking about this? They're concerned that something major does happen with the Pebble Mine. If it does go through, it could affect our fisheries down this way too. And they see a lot more cons than a lot more pros. And so that's why I was going to see if we could discuss it again. And I know Ernie's, both Ernie and Charlotte have been looking into this too, and so that's why I wanted to bring it back.
Oh, is that in a form of a motion?
Yes.
Make a motion. Bring it on.
Oh, it's on there right now. We're discussing.
Hey, I have a. Oh, do we need a motion? I'll second it.
Apparently not at this time.
Okay.
He's not resolution.
This is Carol.
Let me get this straight with the clerk. So we have a discussion on it now. Would there be a motion then? I mean, then there would be. Would it be added to the 23rd agenda, or what?
Up to them. It could be.
So I mean, after the discussion, if they decide they want to move forward with this, then somebody would make a motion that it would be on May 23rd. Okay. Does everybody understand that? I do now.
Right. And my question is, the resolution that was put forth last meeting that I couldn't get a second on, can it be resubmitted the same way it was?
Yes, because it wasn't considered at that meeting. It was not considered. It never got a second, so the resolution never got considered.
Okay, that's all I had.
Okay,
so,
other discussion? Well,
one of the things that, the borough probably got to be consistent on what we do sometimes. Sometimes we are, sometimes we're not, that's fine. But there's another mine, Donlin, on the Kuskokwim. I don't know if we want to take a stand on that or not. And, of course, there may or may not be a mine here in the future. I don't know any plans. One in our area in the near future and all, the way it looks. But Donlin one is moving faster than Pebble Mine. And, of course, the public hearing is open for the Pebble Mine until the end of June sometime. So, anyway, those are the kind of questions maybe...
I think it's the 30th.
Extended
it to some time, and I'm not sure when the
time
is. Some thoughts. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments?
I think it's good that this wasn't brought up at the last. It didn't make it on last since Chris wasn't there, and he's got people who are, you know, hoping that the borough has something to say.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Brenda. I've heard from King Cole, Fall Pass, Nelson Lagoon Fishers that have talked about this and wonder when are we going to talk about it. I said I think it was, but I had put the wrong date on my calendar, so me and Warren both missed the last meeting. I'm sorry, that was my fault. It's in big, huge letters in our kitchen on a calendar, but when someone puts it on the wrong date, you know, just don't make it. So I would appreciate it if this was brought back up. I would be in support of it.
Okay. Any other comments?
I agree. I think the borough should take a stance on Pebble Mine for sure. Tom, thank you.
Thank you, Tom. So if there's no objections, then we will put the resolution back on the agenda for the 23rd of May and have discussion and decide on it at that time. Paul?
Just to clarify the date that we were talking about, the Corps of Engineers extended the comment for 30 days to June 29th, 2019.
And May 23rd will be our last meeting before July.
Hopefully it'll be the last meeting.
How about?
Must
produce
the budget. Something fun.
Probably will be.
Yeah. Anyway, unless, does anybody have any objections to that? We'll just put it back on the agenda on the 23rd of May. Hearing none, that's what will happen. So, reports and updates. Annie.
Yes, Mayor Ashaback and Assembly. First off, thank you very much for the contract extension. It's been a pleasure working for the borough and with all the wonderful people I work with every day. So I really look forward to another 3 years working on your behalf for the communities. It's challenging, fun, exciting. I learn something new every day, and the second I don't, then it's time for me to leave, but that hasn't happened yet. So anyways, on to my report. First off, just a little update on the payment in lieu of taxes underpayment lawsuit. A long time ago, July 2018, the borough submitted a class action opt-in submission to participate in a class action lawsuit regarding PILT. This has been a long process. It's outlined in here. But recently, the Department of Interior has asked and was granted a delay by the district court to decide on whether it wants to appeal the decision that granted counties/boroughs compensation for prior year underpayments, and the court has given the department until May 17th. So that is just to keep on your radar. That is something we're still tracking. Brad Gilman and Sebastian in his office are tracking this as well. And after May 17th, I should have a better update for you, hopefully at the 23rd meeting. State of Alaska item, there is a lot going on in Juneau. I just kind of gave you an update from Alaska Municipal League of the week of May 6th. Things have probably changed since then, but this is just something at that point. But I want you to know the borough is still reaching out to legislators, the governor's office. We're testifying and advocating for items that affect the borough, the communities, and the residents. So we're keeping on top of that. At the last meeting, I was asked about school bond debt. That's just so you know, the total school bond debt remaining is kind of hard to determine since it's combined with a bunch of other projects in our existing bonds. However, our finance director contacted the state, who wrote that our bonds will be paid off in FY29, and as long as the program is fully funded, the borough would be reimbursed a total of $6,910.597 between FY20 and FY29. Now, that's if it's fully funded. So we'll keep looking for what Assemblymember Grunholt asked, but I just wanted to give you some information regarding that. A few things that aren't on here that's happened since I submitted this report, I mentioned during the work session, but the Coon Dock and Breakwater project, that was kind of on hold. That's at the Army Corps level to do a feasibility study. They just let me know that the engineer on this project will begin the modeling to assess the wave climate in Surf and Acatan Bays, which will inform the specifications necessary for the breakwaters. The engineer estimates he'll be able to complete the modeling and analysis in a couple of weeks. And once that information is gathered, the Corps can proceed with evaluating alternatives. So it has started moving again, which is exciting, and I'll keep you up to date on that as we move forward. The Nelson Lagoon dock update, the engineers, Moffitt and Nickel, have completed the 35% design, and the permits have been submitted to all the permitting agencies. The 65% is due on May 10th, and the 95% is to be completed by May 24th, and then they'll complete the bid-ready plans by June 7th, and then we'll go from there. So that's exciting. We're moving forward on that. A few other items, the health insurance. Our health insurance is up for renewal beginning July 1, 2019 to July 1, 2020. After discussions with our health insurance broker, I opted to continue our coverage in the existing program. The cost is a total for health and dental, $1,660 per employee, and that's approximately an 8 to 9% increase from last year's cost. So I just want you to be aware of that. Just to let you know about our contract that we have with Levesque Law Group, we entered into agreement in April 2015. The term of this agreement was for three years from the date of execution, with the option to renew for up to three additional one-year extensions at the borough and or mayor's option. Honestly, I hadn't looked at this agreement until somebody brought it up, but the original three-year term has occurred, and the borough has now entered the second one-year extension for attorney services. So we're going to continue with Levesque Law Group, who we've had as our attorneys for a while. The Sandpoint School Repairs Project has been completed, and all the invoices have been paid. The entities that completed the electrical control work all came under budget by approximately $26,000. Bering Industrial, however, who did the mechanical work, did come over budget. We met on April 18th. The borough, Dow, Joe Levesque came with me and the contractor to discuss the overage charges. And after discussions, we agreed to pay about $18,000 of that, and then Bering absorbed the remaining fees. Just so you're aware of that, we had enough money in the budget for the project, but they did go over. And we have since talked to the contractor, if we ever work with them in the future, that they have to do better on change orders and things of that nature. But I just wanted you to be aware of that. Here's a list of just some things that I've been working on. The budget took a really long time, but that's before you. I've testified. We've implemented that pay date change that was approved at the last meeting. We're doing additional corrective action plans to our audit. We're trying to complete the FY18 audit. We're still working on it. We actually met with the auditors for 2 hours yesterday to go over the last items that are needed, so we hope to wrap that up soon. And just a bunch of other things. We also did all the annual reviews for the employees in April except for the clerk, who we're going to hopefully have a review at the next meeting, which will go into executive session because she works at the pleasure of the assembly. So that would be conducted by you. But I don't believe one's ever been done, similar to like mine that you guys did in December. But that means that every employee this year will have an annual review, which is really exciting and something that hasn't been done in a really long time. So other than that, I've attended some AMLJ board meetings, and there's a million other things, but that's an overview. So once again, thank you again for extending the contract.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. Oh, and I just want to let you know, under the school bond reimbursement, you ran off with three zeros, but
Mary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. So my report's in your packet. However, I just wanted to give a brief update or use this opportunity to elaborate a little bit more on some of the work that we've been doing with the design changes for the Cold Bay Clinic. So as you approved at this meeting, Resolution 1967, which authorized the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract amendment with LCG to continue with the design update for the clinic. So part of that new scope would implement the recommended changes as well as include coordination work for the cost estimate, which is something we need, obviously, for budgetary purposes. So some of the examples of recommended changes include, but are not limited to, and just want to emphasize that this is not an exhaustive list. There's a whole host of mechanical and architectural engineering stuff that they have come up with that they'll implement for us.
But I just wanted to give a couple of examples of what we've been looking at and the conversations we've been having with EATS and with the city in terms of operations and construction. So one change is incorporating a dirt interior interior modular wall system, which are wall panels that are customizable and easily sanitized, modified, and maintained. These are made in a factory setting, which minimizes on-site construction labor, so those are some additional cost savings that we'll see during the construction phase. So we're pretty excited about that. That's something that the City of Cold Bay really wanted us to incorporate, so we decided to move forward with that. Another change is removing a crawl space that was included in the original 2013 design and using a slab-on-grade foundation, which is projected to decrease construction costs and save operational costs on the heating side. And again, the city is pretty excited about that. A couple of smaller things that when the designers were looking at it, they thought maybe we could remove or change a little bit. One thing is removing head bolt heater outlets for vehicle plug-ins on the outside of the clinic. From what we heard, people in Cold Bay don't really plug in their cars, and so that's an additional cost savings that they identified that we thought we could easily implement. So we'll be removing those from the original design. Another thing that was brought up from EAT and from the city was the fact that there was no decontamination shower for patients or for providers, and that's something that is really important. If people get fluids on them or, you know, anything that really requires them to have a shower, there really wasn't anything for that. So that's something that we're going to have them implement in the design as well. And then another more architectural change is removing the x-ray controls room. Because EATS at this point, they don't actually use an x-ray control room in that facility. In a lot of their facilities, they use a mobile x-ray, so they really don't need that extra room for that use. So by removing that x-ray room, we'll actually be able to enlarge the two exam rooms and make more room for patient care. So I just wanted to kind of elaborate on some of the changes since we did change that scope a little bit. And so after those changes are made, we'll be able to get that cost estimate, which thankfully LCG has coordinated for us. So that should be expected here in the next month and a half or so. Any questions on that? Okay, great. So other items I'm working on, just wanted to give an update on some of the surplus sale stuff. The modular building that we're moving to Accutan will be moved by Triton at the end of this month, so the city is prepared for that. We've also had some interest on the generators in King Cove. We're waiting on a bid from a prospective buyer, but so far it's kind of in limbo at this point. And then we also sold the surplus outboard in Accutan for $4,500, so just so you're aware. I did attend the APICTA conference this week. I attended the first day. It was informative. The APICTA is doing a lot for our community, so I mean, as Sam mentioned earlier, they're doing that community grant program. I think it's $300,000 for each community, so I'll be looking forward to seeing where that goes for APICTA. I'm hoping that it will benefit our communities here in the future. And then, as Annie mentioned, continue to assist her with daily borough operations, such as the FY20 budget, the audit, IT issues, Cold Bay terminal lease, and getting ready for summer projects. So with that, that's my report. But if you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Any question? I didn't even ask if there's any question for Annie. Hey, Laura, Mary, do you have Laura's report handy? Sure. I was going to have her.
It should be in the packet.
It's in the packet.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to have, I was going to have her read it because everybody on the radio likes to hear all her reports.
I can read it. Do you mind if I read it verbatim?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, so this is Laura Tanis' report. She's the communications director. So she is currently on vacation April 28th through May 17th, but below are some of her projects. So she's working on In the Loop, which was sent out on April 25th. The headlines include Sandpoint King Cove Schools, Police Department take part in active shooter response and de-escalation training, Sandpoint dock renovation to get underway this summer, King Cove to request resident feedback in door-to-door survey, King Cove to perform hydroelectric facility maintenance this summer and fall, explore and live for new experiences by Sadie Newton, King Cove Jive student writer, swim trip by Anne Rael Jerusalem, King Cove Jive reporter, Way Back When, Pollution and Wildlife by Callum Hoblett, False Pass Beach Journal student writer, and Bears in Unmac by Riley Mulkey. She goes on to say, it was interesting hearing the comments from the Sandpoint School Principal and Police Department, the King Cove School Principal and Police Department, as well as Greg Russell, who conducted the active shooter response and de-escalation training. The school district hasn't had this training in quite some time, so it was very valuable for everyone who took part in it. We added 4 stories from student writers from both King Cove and False Pass to this latest issue of the newsletter. Both schools have newsletters, and we're happy to share stories written by the students. I think it's great that the students are reporting on activities they're taking part in, as well as issues that affect their communities. The April 12th In the Loop newsletter contained a couple of stories on Alaska Legislative Committee hearings. One of the stories focused on the governor's proposal to cut the school bond debt reimbursement program. The other article concentrated on the governor's bill to repeal the shared fisheries tax. Afterwards, the House and Senate each came up with their own versions of the budget. Those who testified included Borough Mayor Alvin Osterbach, AEB Administrator Annie Bailey, Accutane Mayor Joe Boreskin, Sandpoint Administrator Jordan Keeler, and King Cove Administrator Gary Hennig. So, moving on, Fish News, April 12, 2019. She goes on to say, I also distributed an issue of Fish News on April 12th, written by AEB Natural Resources Director Ernie Weiss. This issue focused on recent AEB Board of Fisheries meetings, Board of Fish joint meetings, and the North Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting. Upcoming projects, writing stories for the next In the Loop newsletter, wrapping up research / work on annual report, updating and revising the PowerPoint presentation for Mayor Osterbach to present at the annual Harbor Masters Association conference. And she says, as always, I'm happy to help get the word out on an event or issue in your community. Please call or email me anytime with information. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mary, for doing that. Ernie.
Mayor Osterbach, Ernie Weiss, Natural Resources Director. I'm not going to read mine verbatim, but I will touch on the headlines. And in the digital version on your iPad, I always add links to other documents. I'll point out some of those. First headline is the 2019 salmon season. That's coming up. I have a link to both the salmon management plans with South Peninsula, North Peninsula. Charlotte and I are going out to Sandpoint on the 28th, coming back the 29th for the preseason meeting. That'll be on the 29th at 10. And then we talk about the run. Looks like a 40 million is pretty good run for Bristol Bay and a big pink run. So hopefully that'll turn out, and Chignik as well. There's a little blue box that talks about the property surveys, and there's a link to, I've updated the municipal lands report, kind of simplified it. It's still a draft document, needs to be updated a little bit more, but that's there. Board of Fish, talk about the appointees. There was one that didn't make confirmation by the legislature. The proposals for the next cycle are out, and there's a link to that. It's a Cook Inlet, Kodiak Ear, and Tanner and King Crab, and so there are proposals that are pertinent to our area, including proposals for cod and jig that are Kodiak-based, but they could affect us. North Pacific Council, on the June agenda, the main thing I'm looking at is the Gulf of Alaska pollock and cod seasons and allocations. It would make the pollock seasons from 4 to 2 seasons, and the cod, it would move some of the allocation to the hay season, and it'll give the fishermen flexibility. There's a link to the 3-meeting agenda, our outlook, and they've updated that, and then I've put some yellow highlights on it to show the things that we're really paying attention to. Second blue box, Eric Volk went to the salmon genetics workshop for us, and he sent me a report, and there's a link to that. Then it gets asked all the time about the pink salmon disaster funds. I noticed that Brad Gilman also addressed it in his report. I've given the answer that I got from Forrest Bowers, but in Brad's, he said the feds have approved the plan, and so it's definitely coming in June. So we'll see. But that's there. Talked about cod a little bit. I did not mention that the federal cod season for about 116,000 pounds opens June 10th. And while we're out there, Charlotte and I will hold a groundfish fisheries discussion, talk about a number of issues, federal and state groundfish fisheries, and that'll be on the 28th at 6 p.m. I had a Aleutian Island Waterway Safety Committee last week, I guess, and they approved the plan. That draft plan is there. It's not complete. It'll be coming out. List of meetings. I wanted to mention, I'm sure Charlotte's going to talk about, we just spent a little bit of time at the Wakefield Symposium, cooperative research, pretty exciting. I had to step out for a little while to attend the Southeast Conference Transportation Committee as a member of the Marine Transportation Advisory Board. There was updates. The Tustamina left the shipyard yesterday. And on the replacement, there are still four Buy America waivers that are left, needed to be worked out. But Captain Falvey noted that if that doesn't work out, they could design around those. He had plenty of updates on vessels and terminals. But all decisions are on hold until Northern Economics work. There was a contract, a scope of work contract put out to evaluate the situation of the marine transportation situation. The MTAB and the Southeast Conference will be kind of checking that work, and the MTAB will not meet until that is done. Mark Hickey, well, first of all, Robert Venable said, oh, and we're waiting for the governor to rise. We're waiting for the governor, and it turned out it was Frank Murkowski, and he talked for quite a while saying this and that, and it may be that the Aleutians East Borough may want to make contribution of some sort. I don't know if it would be monetarily or not to the Southeast Conference, just to keep our foot in the door. Mark Hickey was there. His comment that I wrote down was, cannot privatize the marine transportation system. It must be subsidized. And there was a HB 412 from the previous legislature that would put together a corporation, and they're going to be rewriting that, and that's the plan for the MTAB. Last thing I wanted, well, we are planning to have a fishermen's meeting during the Pacific Expo. I put down November 22nd, but we got our preferred date on the first day of the Expo, November 21st. And then on the last item, Alaska Young Fishermen's Summit is in January. There's no money in our budget, but in previous years we've tried to put together a scholarship for young fishermen to attend that, and it would be my suggestion, or at least I'm putting it out there, that the Natural Resource Department may want to do some fundraising so we can continue that tradition. And so that's my plan. I'll look at the legalities of possibly buying a case of crab and auction it off or whatever. So that's my report. It is in the packet, and I'd take any questions. Thank you.
Okay, questions? Paul?
Yeah, thank you. Ernie, I know you talk to the governor's office every day, but what are they going to do to replace the Board of Fish member who got rejected by the legislature?
Yeah, contrary to popular opinion, I do not talk to the governor's office all that often. But it's I've heard from Johnny Moeller that after the legislature lets out, the governor will appoint someone, and that person would be in there until the legislature convenes again and takes up confirmations again. So that person would be in there for the October work session when agenda change requests are considered. I don't know any more than that, though, Paul.
Okay. Ingrid?
As long as we're asking crystal ball questions, Ernie, the management, I know I've talked to Bryce quite a lot over the last few years about that, but knowing that the budget is probably going to come in late, have you heard anything about them doing any sort of emergency appropriations, about how they're going to maintain management at the end of June, beginning of July, or anything along that line?
Thank you, Ingrid, for the question. So they've heard our concern about that. We've passed that along, but there has not, you know, there's no assurances. But certainly Stutes and Speaker have heard that concern. That's all I could tell you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Ernie? Okay. So, help queen.
I like that. Thanks. I'm glad it stuck. Okay, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly, you have my report in the packet. So I'll just go over a few of the projects I've been working on. So the Trawl EM project is taking up a little bit more of my time than I originally anticipated, but I've been working with Saltwater and PFC pretty closely over the last few weeks to work on the exempted fishing permit that is required to move forward with our project, and that would be to exempt us from the regulation for observer coverage and discard requirements. So we're hoping to have that submitted by June, but of course it will go through the council process and would be in theory in effect for the 2020 fishing season and would last for 2 years. So it's a two-year ESP. To that end, I am following the observer fee analysis, the observer annual report, and the 2020 observer deployment plan, as well as the FMAC reports through the through the council process, like this next year, however long it takes to get through all of those issues, because they both directly and indirectly impact this project. I'm also working with Saltwater and PSD to develop a second NIF-LIF grant proposal that will continue this EM work and ideally outfit the rest of the fleet with EM equipment, as well as funding shoreside observers, which is a really vital component of this project. So that work continues. So for kelp mariculture, we successfully submitted our first permit application with DNR and ADFG for the site in Sandpoint, which is very exciting, and it actually took quite a bit of work, and that's mostly because it's fairly new, and hopefully over the next few years, ADFG and DNR will streamline their process, because right now it's a little messy. I'm going to continue work in Accutane and False Pass to hopefully submit similar applications for the 2020 cycle. In partnership with Alaska Sea Grant, we did successfully submit a proposal for the NOAA Exploring New Aquaculture Opportunities Grant for $99,751, and if funded, that work would begin in September of 2019, and that would actually construct the actual farm and have a pilot year of operation. We did not pursue a full application to the Social Behavior Economic Needs Grant that the Assembly allowed us to move forward with through resolution at the last meeting. It just didn't work out. However, fortuitously, I did meet with the UAA Alaska Cooperative Development Center to discuss that feasibility study that I wanted to use those funds for, and as it happens, they have a little bit of money left over in their USDA cooperative development grant that they would like to use to do this project with us. So we'll see how far that gets us, but that would be a market analysis of all mariculture, so not just seaweed, but other opportunities in the region. And then hopefully that would lead to a co-op feasibility study, which is something of interest across the state and would maybe be appropriate for this kind of industry in our region. So for the strategic plan, I'm working on a climate change survey to better understand the concerns, needs, and perspectives of our communities and our community members. Before we really move forward with anything on climate change, I think we really have to have an understanding of how this impacts our people and what is most important to them and what is most concerning. So I'm hoping to have this survey delivered by Q2 of the strategic plan, and I'm working with Laura on this, and she has experience delivering surveys. The feasibility study I already covered. As an aside, I'm currently working on developing an interactive siting tool in QGIS, which is essentially an open-source ArcGIS program. After going through the siting process for mariculture, there was a lot of data sources that really need to be streamlined in order to efficiently complete an application, and I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. So I'm going to do my best to create a tool that new entrants
maybe interested parties in our communities can use to help them find sites and fill out these permit applications. Before I move on to meetings, well, I guess this is kind of a meeting. Ernie mentioned that we were both at the Wakefield Symposium the last few days, which is a symposium held by Alaska Sea Grant, to talk about some of the projects that they're working on and that they've funded. The theme of the symposium was cooperative research, and I found it to be very interesting. A lot of it was based on cooperative research with industry, which is kind of a hot topic right now, and I would like to provide a more thorough report at the next meeting, but I will say that, you know, if we're thinking about rationalization coming down the pike, I would also really like to start having conversations about how the industry and how our fishermen would like to respond to this changing financial climate as it pertains to fisheries management, stock assessments, and things like that. You know, it's very clear that funding is really tight. And for those in the know, stock assessments and research on our stocks is absolutely vital to having good stock assessments and therefore appropriate tack. And so I think that now is a really good opportunity to start talking about how do we want to handle this, what kind of role does industry want to play, and do we have any leverage when it comes to looking at the kind of research that's done in our salmon and our groundfish stocks. So more to come on that, but I think that's a very interesting and very relevant topic that we should be talking about with our fishermen. So as far as meetings, obviously I'm always at some sort of trawl EM-related subcommittee meeting. We will be going to False Pass, and I look forward to talking to Tom a little bit more about his area. We will be having the groundfish discussion and salmon preseason meeting in Sandpoint, which I'm very excited about. And then while Ernie is at the June council meeting, I will be attending a blue economy workshop in Seward, which I think will be really exciting to talk about how people anticipate the blue economy developing. There's a lot of money coming into this area right now, kind of whether we want it to or not. Mariculture is a hot topic, and there's millions of dollars, federal dollars, going into this right now, and I definitely think it's something we should take advantage of, and people are very interested in our region. So I am excited to share the results of that, and I'm happy to take any questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Charlotte? Last week, and I got to see them harvesting the kelp.
Yeah.
So they were bringing it over by skiff, having to go back by skiff. Even a little wave swamped them. So they hired a tender,
yeah.
Bobby Pletnikoff, and he was bringing it over. So they take it off, and they squish it, they rinse it, squish it down and dry it into block chips.
Yeah.
It is pretty cool.
It's
yeah. So, I mean, there were skiff loads and skiff loads coming across the bay with it heaped with two little heads. That's all you saw. They're laying in the kelp is up to here. And it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
How they get a tender doing it.
Yeah, lucky our guys have big boats.
Well, Brenda, if that gets you excited, once we start setting it, and you could have hands on.
Oh Lordy, I remember.
So, Charlotte, one thing, I don't know if you or Ernie sent me an email, or I talked to you, or I read it somewhere, but anyway, they're starting up a new federal committee dealing with ocean acidification. And I think there's a seat open for, like, this part of the country out here. If I hadn't talked to either one of you about it, maybe at some point you guys could check on it. And, you know, as far as not only shellfish, but because what red salmon live on when they're juveniles, there's a lot of implications to that, so... Actually, when I served on the Marine Fisheries Advisory Committee, I was in Washington, D.C., they came in, and that's 20 years ago or better, they came and told us what was going to happen with ocean acidification, and I think now it's coming. So somebody might want to look into that and see how they're making up that committee and if we need to participate in it or what have you. Okay?
Definitely. Thank you.
All right. So... if there's no other questions for Charlotte, Hamel.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. My little report is in your packet as well, but I am doing a lot of organization work, working with Mary on our bridge signage there in our bridges that we got in King Cove and in False Pass that we need to get up to state standards on with reporting them and having the right signage and everything on it for that. And then the hazardous materials inspection, trying to do, get this taken care of here before we get, hopefully get these painters in this summer on the Sandpoint School. So we'd make sure we have all that taken care of. Just searching, making sure we get all the right stuff done and taken care of. I've been working with the maintenance up here in Sandpoint School. We're having some issues with some condensation and some waterfalls getting up into the inside of the school from some of the units that we're trying to get handled and taken care of up there. And it seems like we've got a pretty good handle on it now, but it's just some issues we've got to take care of so that we don't have to worry about keep worrying about it so much. Just keep getting a summer list ready for things to do, what we need to get done, prioritizing, and seeing what kind of, you know, money we get out of the budget or what we have to work with, and just itemizing things that we need to get done and just trying to keep going on all of that. My strategic plan update, my OSHA requirements, I've done my first two boxes for the first quarter. I'm going to be out in Anchorage for capital improvement project workshop, which then I'll go through the office out there as I'm out there so that I'll keep up and get that office up in compliance as well. And just working on punch lists of things that I need to, for us to stay in compliance. Just going to be, like I said before, be working on going out for a capital improvement project workshop just to try to get a feel on how I can make the schools a little bit better in the state's eyes on their report cards and on their list of funding so that we could try to get some of that money back to our schools that we put back into it from the state, if and when that funding does come available. And upcoming projects, I've got, like I said, just getting the summer list ready. And that's about all what I got for right now. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Emil. Questions for Emil? All right. So that's all of the reports and updates. Assembly comment. Okay. Public comment.
Mayor Allen, Gary here. The last thing I want to do is be confrontational on this road issue, the monies with the King Cove Corporation. But if they were to amend their request to a lower amount that was within your authority of approval, would you be willing to at least entertain discussions about that and to hear additional reasons why I think the corporation is justified in what they're asking for?
Gary, I think since this became an item for the Assembly and the Assembly has made a preliminary discovery or decision, whatever you have, I cannot intercede on their authority to handle it. I don't think that would be right in any which form. So no, I guess.
Okay, well, I certainly respect that. I just felt like I had to ask, but I respect what you said, Mayor, and that's good enough.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comments? All right, so our next meeting date, so everybody knows, is May 23rd, and if the weather holds, we are going to be guests of Tom Hublett. Paul,
what time would the meeting be? What time of the day, if we've got that far? Just kind of give us a heads up.
Dina, have you worked out any
I haven't worked out meeting time yet, however, flying time I have. A flight out of Anchorage will be leaving at 8:30.
Okay. So they'll be there 10:30.
So, you know, we could start late morning or, I don't know. I do have the time on. I was looking at our normal time minus possibly a workshop.
So I don't think we're going to have, you know, a huge agenda over there, since we're going to have airplanes sitting on the ground for the duration while we're there. So probably a short agenda. One thing for the assembly is at this meeting, hopefully you'll give your clerk a review. And Annie, were you planning on sending anything out to the assembly as far as paperwork or something they need to fill out or something to go by when they do the annual review?
Yes, Mayor Sabak, I will. I just haven't gotten to it yet, but yes, I'll have something to them before the 23rd.
Okay. So, well, we kind of understand. I think you've been busy. So. Anyway, so we'll do that. I think kind of right now what we were looking at doing is have the, you know, we'll have a workshop or just a meeting, one or the other, probably just a meeting maybe. Because there's, I know a lot of the assembly is interested in taking a look at the new facilities over there, probably both Trident and Silver Bay. And I believe they're working on logistics on setting that up for us to go take a look at it.
So, Mr. Mayor, I'll just kind of guess that perhaps our meeting would be 1 o'clock. How's that? Is that a good guess, perhaps?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So if there's nothing else before us, yes?
How many guests will be coming to False Pass? Can we ask that?
Sure. 500.
For lunch? 500, yes, okay.
Do you know how many?
There's about 14 of us.
Jumla.
Okay, Jumla, I'll be out on the rocks early morning.
And we were bringing lunch things with us.
Okay.
We can prepare lunch here.
Okay.
Kick seven.
Okay. If there's nothing else before us, we are adjourned. Thank everybody for all the time. I know it was a long meeting, but we had lots to cover and we made it. Thank you very much.